Recent news reports and headlines across the world are now acknowledging that intelligence agencies from many nations encounter strange phenomena that cannot be explained with scientific means. Craft that are powered and that have intelligence guiding them appear around military installations, on radar, and in the sight of military pilots. An abundance of reports and materials are easily searchable and available to the public. What was once seen as a hoax and a conspiracy theory is now being released in bite-sized pieces by various governments around the world. To what end they are doing that now, we don't know. But as I begin to research this topic, I saw that there is a vast amount of information available from eyewitness testimony, and that it goes even further than mere sightings. The real question we get to is, what is the origin of these creatures? Is it outer space? Are they from another galaxy, far beyond? Is travel like that even possible? What evidence, if any, is there that they are from deep space? Or are they all around us and simply appearing to us now? Let's try to answer these questions by the word as we go to study this topic. Greetings, Bible believers and followers of the End Time Message. Welcome to another episode of the Jason DeMars Podcast, the place where we explore the incredible mysteries hidden within the pages of the Bible. I'm your host, Jason DeMars. It's time to get started on another journey into the heart of God's Word. If it's your desire to grow in revelation and see the message in the light of the Bible, you're in the right place. Today, brothers and sisters, we delve into the Scripture, guided by the extraordinary revelations that God chose to unveil through Brother William Marion Branham, a messenger with a unique calling to fulfill Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 and unlock the secrets of the end time message. Our purpose isn't to have another basic Bible study. We're going to dig deep and peel back the layers of prophecy, decoding the signs, and perhaps discovering how the Bible resonates within the very fabric of our present day and time. In this podcast, my purpose is to help you grow in your faith through solid Bible teaching through the lens of the message of Malachi 4. So grab your Bible, a cup of coffee, and let's get started. And remember that your feedback, testimonies, questions, and prayer requests are always welcome. Please send them on social media or at jasondemars.com. Before we go into today's episode, I want to share something with you. Head over to jasondemars.com where I'm giving away free books. These books have been ordered by believers around the world, and many testimonies have been given about the great blessing they have been. I also want you to know that by God's grace and provision, we are also covering the shipping costs, free books, and free shipping. My purpose is not to sell books, but to proclaim the message of the hour. Free of charge. I've written these books to build your faith, increase your spiritual revelation, and be a witness for God's message in the end time. Here's a list of a few of them: a summary of the revelation of the seven seals, the end time message handbook, the mystery of the Malachi 4 Elijah, holiness to the Lord, and foundations. Head over to jasondemars.com right now and claim your free books. With that said, let's get into today's podcast. God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening into the podcast. I really appreciate it. This is a strange topic that we're looking into. I know it might seem like this is a waste of time to look into, but I believe that it's a topic that's on people's minds, and I believe that the Word of God has the answers for us when we begin to dig deeply into this. A scripture I want to start before we do that, and then I want to begin to read some quotes from Brother Branham. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so we see that when angels appear, it certainly needs to be checked by the word. Brother Branham says this. He teaches himself this, is if the angel of the Lord would come to him and tell him any other thing than besides water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it wouldn't be the angel of the Lord. And we're also reminded of the testimony of, I think, St. Martin, who that angel appeared to the other minister, and that minister brought something that wasn't contrary to the word, right? And when it came in the presence of St. Martin, the robe that this false minister had on fell off. And so the devil will appear as angels in order to deceive. And so we have to be careful and watchful. And what does it produce? Angels are appearing, but devils are appearing as well in the form of angels of light. 1956, the junction time. The United States is shaking. The great bureaus and so forth, and the great Pentagon and all of that investigating supernatural things. Flying saucers, what are they? Oh, they say, we've seen little men in them, all kinds of stories. They try to deny it, but they're there. Why? God said that there'd be signs in the heavens above and in the earth. We got it. They're afraid. In 1956, a blushing prophet. You seen in the paper the other day where they're requiring science, the Pentagon, to answer these flying saucers. It wasn't myth. It wasn't something it imagined. It was real. It was an intelligence. They flew in battle formation. They could stop. They could start. They could stop. They could tell. It was intelligence. They knew it. The people laughed. They said, flying saucers? And made fun out of it. But you know what I'm thinking? Jesus said, before he comes, there will be signs in the heaven above. Did you notice before he started, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sex affair? He sent angels down to investigate it. Angels has come to the earth in the last few years. They've been seen among people. I mean, honest, blood-washed people who knows it. They've even stood and had their pictures taken. That's right. Angelic beings has visit, taking word back to the Father that sin has heaped till the stars can hardly shine. In Watchmen, What of the Night? 1958. And you heard the interview with that man, I suppose, yesterday on the radio, who claims that he's talked to people. I do not wish to regard that man, but his whole system is contrary to the word. It isn't right. And on Mars, they don't have death, and they've come over here to teach us how not to have death. But when it come to proof, he didn't have one speck of proof that he could prove it. Just some mythical idea he had drawn up. And in my opinion, it's false because the Bible said different from what he said. Oh, now look at what Brother Branham is saying. This person is said he's met with an alien, and the alien says we come from Mars and we're coming to show you how not to have death. Seems like an angel of light coming to show how you don't have to have death. What is it? His whole system was false, contrary to the Bible. Fascinating. All right, let's continue on. I might express what I do think about flying saucers. I do not believe that they're shadows. I do not believe that they're mythical. I believe, and this doesn't make it right, it's just only my idea. The Lord has not told me this is what they are, but by looking in the scriptures, for there is where we find all things. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And before the destruction of Sodom, fire fell and burned the city and the plains up. There was angels sent from heaven who looked in and searched out to find out if these things were true or not. And would it not be just like God to send back his angels to investigate and to find out just before the great destruction comes? And did you notice there was one angel who came who visited an old man who had made a decision for God and was living, despised the world in a tent back on the desert because nobody had chosen and took all his wealth. Because somebody had chosen and took all his wealth, but he said, that's all right, I'll just stay here in the will of God. My. 1962, the end time sign seed. Looks what's just been over. You've seen it in the radio. So you saw it on television. It's been in the newspapers. Flying saucers everywhere. And the Pentagon let it out the other day, about 6 weeks ago. It wasn't fictitious. They even showed it on television, how they caught these saucers with intelligence, lights that come down hanging over the Pentagon like that, all over Washington, D.C. And they caught it on radar and had pilots up there, and they'd come right in around them, surround them, move away with lightning speed and intelligence. What is it? In the sermon Events Made Clear by Prophecy, 1965, and also in the book of Mark and Matthew, where he said these great signs and wonders would appear in the sky, and people call them saucers, flying saucers, can vanish with the power and quickness of a thought, intelligence that can move in, he can write, he can speak, and can do whatever he wants to. Wow. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. You see these little pockets going through the air. They call saucers and so forth. People say that, well, we better leave that alone. Hear all these people come up missing, you say. Don't hear from them. They're standing there and they're not there. That's the way the rapture is going to be. One of them will drop right down and this terrestrial body will take on a celestial body. There'll be hide, hair, or bones left. It'll be transformed in a moment of time, dropping right out of space and taking home that. We see all going on now, and the Pentagon wondering about these lights and mystic lights and everything they're seeing in the sky. You've seen they had one here in the paper at Jeffersonville this week and so forth, a mystic light. So, oh, they don't know what it is, but listen, little children, it's going to pick you up one of these days. See, don't worry. All right. Now, let's kind of look at the whole picture that Brother Branham brought. These are, as far as I can tell, a compilation of almost all the statements Brother Branham makes about what we call UFOs, or now we call them UAPs. Brother Branham spoke of them in quite vivid terms based on news reports of his time. As you can hear, he spoke of reports of military sightings, details about how they operated, and even about alien abductions, though he doesn't call it that way. He then relates to us that he feels that they are angelic visitations or investigative angels, as the angels that went to Sodom to see if it was all together as it had come into God's ears. I believe this is the truth. I believe also that there is a flip side to good angels, because there's also evil angels that come as angels of light to deceive by. Now I want to examine some of these reports and compare them back with scripture and with what Brother Branham said. For quite some time, you know, the History Channel, different places, there's been a growing interest in UFOs and aliens. There's been many detailed reports of alien appearances, alien abductions, and many reports from both private citizens and government officials about the appearance of alien spacecraft. So let's look at some stories that eyewitnesses have told about their personal experiences. First, I'm going to start with, I've got a document here that I got. It's from the CIA. Eyewitness accounts of UFO sightings. Most of these are from the 70s that the reports were made, though the events took place at various times, which the document will describe. And this was approved for release in February of 2010. It's an article by Jin Tao, Sightings of Flying Saucers in China. These are excerpts from letters printed below of first-hand observations.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Introducing the message Christ has sent to his bride is a booklet written by Jason DeMars. God has promised in the Bible to send a message that would restore us back to the original faith as delivered by the apostles. There has been many reformers that came to reveal the truth to the church, but when those men died, their followers made an organization and God moved on. The Lord's purpose was to send those men to restore the original faith, but due to denominationalism, the truth has been hidden. God promised in Malachi 4 to restore us back to the original faith. A message has been sent to do just that. This book will give you a quick introduction to the message. You can order this book at jasondebars.com. The book is free and shipping is free as well. Now back to the podcast. This report was told in September 24th, 1979, from Yang Zhisong, a teacher at a supplemental school in Tianjin's eastern suburbs. It was in the autumn of 1943, possibly a day in September, at some time after 1900 hours in the evening at my native home in Qingjiang. I was enjoying myself in the courtyard when suddenly something flew across the sky from east to west, shining white light. But the light wave, the area covered, was not large. Its center seemed like a saucer revolving around a fixed point in the sky. When I saw it passing overhead, I ran up to the roof of the house at once to watch it, but it disappeared in about a minute. Later on, I heard that it had landed somewhere. I think I was not the only one to see it at that time, and later on, there was a lot of discussion about it, and it was said to be a new weapon that Japan had invented. All right. On 25 September 1979, a report was received from Wang Zhuan of the Burmese Language Unit of the Beijing Foreign Languages Bureau. Around 1900 or 2000 hours on the evening of 18 September 1971, before the sky had entirely darkened and before the moon had come out, and not long after the students from Zhi County in Hunan Province, who were attending the May 7th Cater School at the Foreign Language Bureau in Beijing, had eaten. Everybody was in his room, some studying, some reading newspapers, some writing, and some chatting among themselves. Since I had nothing to do, I walked out the main entrance of the dormitory only to suddenly discover at a distance of about 2,000 or 3,000 meters up in the sky a huge lighted wheel slowly revolving in a clockwise direction while moving forward. After I shouted, the people in their rooms came flying out to watch. Unfortunately, when I first discovered the lighted wheel, it had already passed over our Cater School and was located at about 60 to 80 degree angle to it. It headed in a northwesterly direction away from us and slowly floated away. This great flying wheel assumed the form of a smoke cloud, and it looked a little like a spiral nebula in pictures of heavenly bodies. It emitted a yellowish light, but I heard no sound. The center of this huge lighted wheel of turning was quite slow, but its speed of forward motion was relatively fast. I observed it for about 1 minute until it gradually disappeared across the horizon to the northwest. All 10 of us kept looking at this extraordinary phenomena until we could see it no longer. All right. I want to keep reading, but as I read this, I think of the portion of scripture in Ezekiel speaking of the wheels and the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And so then there's this turning. I mean, they're almost describing this type of appearance themselves. Now, I don't believe that that would be God himself appearing to these people. If anything's possible, I don't say, but based on the scriptural principle, this is not God himself appearing to people. He doesn't work in that manner. All right. Now, here's another report. I'm just going to skip down a little bit. On 28 February 1979, a report was received from Wang Zhen, second-year student in the Department of Chinese Language at Gensu Teachers University. It was probably one day in August 1977 when I was at Baidunzu in Jingtai County. Wuhan Prefecture, Gansu Province. At the time, I was a trade union cadre in the Yingzhen textile mill in Gansu Province. Well, I can tell you one thing. I am not good at pronouncing Chinese words or cities, so forgive me for butchering this. And I had just arrived together with a group of employees from the mill at a farm operated by the mill where we were going to join in the wheat harvest. That evening, a movie was being shown in a unit at the southern edge of our farm, and many of the people from our farm went to see it. It was already quite late when I went, probably between 2030 and 2100 hours. It was already dark and stars flickered in the sky. Visibility was excellent, and the open countryside stretched as far as the eye could see. I and two other colleagues walked together, examining the magnificent star-studded sky as we walked. Since childhood, I have been quite fond of astronomy, and while a primary school student in Shanghai, I joined the astronomy section of the Municipal Youth Science and Technology Guidance Station. Suddenly, the attention of all three of us was attracted by a marvelous flying object. Since it was so peculiar, everyone seemed frightened, held their breaths, and made not a sound. A very large flying object, emitting a milky white strong light, flew soundlessly over our heads, flying off to our right side at not too great a speed, going from north to south. Our first impression was that it was not far from us, the surface of the ground, because if most of the stars may be said to be as large as a sesame seed, the flying object was as big as a 1 cent nickel coin. Or else, if it was distant from us, it was extremely large. It was rotating, but I have forgotten the direction of rotation, and if it had a power source that emitted light, the light was very bright, but not eye-piercing. The light beam shone down in a whorl-like shape, like smoke rings, as the body of flying object revolved. Each ring came out in about 1 or 2 seconds. This flying object seemed to be multi-storied because it did not look like a circular iron cake, but rather like the cover for an enamel mug. And because it gave me the feeling that in addition to the light projected downward as it rooted, that the light from other small points of light were even brighter than the light beam, the entire flying object was shrouded in a vapor-like light that was a little less bright than the whorl-shaped light because that shone down from the rotation, and the flying object was not flat. Within about 0.5 to 1 minute, it disappeared over the horizon to the front of us. And, you know, it goes on and brings quite a number of other reports. Another report, it says, what appeared, he said, suddenly I saw a strange star fly over the tops of our heads, and I immediately, excitedly told everyone to look. We saw only that it belched smoke and shot out tongues of flame as it rotated off to the south. The thing was about as large as a small basin, and it appeared from view within a minute.
We'll be back after a quick break.
A Summary of the Revelation of the Seven Seals is a book I wrote a number of years ago. This important revelation is relevant to all Christians today. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9 through 10, there's a tremendous promise made through Daniel that the sealed book will be opened in the end time. We are now living in the end time. Therefore, it's important that we see and understand this vital revelation. God sent William Branham to be a prophet to this generation. His ministry was often misunderstood and heavily criticized. Even today, there are those that call him every name in the book. This has been the case for men of God throughout all the ages. In this book, you will find out exactly how God dealt with this man and led him into the Arizona desert and then back to his humble home church in Jeffersonville, Indiana, where an incredible revelation was made known to him. In this book, you will learn an important part of redemption that has been very neglected by theologians and prophecy experts over the ages, and how the spirit of Antichrist works to deceive the church throughout the church age, why there is silence in heaven for the space of half an hour, what the revelation of the seven thunder, Revelation 10:4, accomplishes, and much more.
go to jasondemars.com and you can order a copy completely free. Oh, and shipping is free as well. Now, back to the podcast.
You know, all the reports come in, but it's basically, they're all somewhat similar like that, and I don't want to get tied up in those reports. So as we see, similarities that are being reported. Also, I'm going to go to the source of the History Channel, and it's going to talk about one specific situation called the Nimitz, and we'll read about that. You know, a UFO has earned its unidentified status when cockpit transcripts from elite Navy fighter jets include this frantic pilot exclamation. Holy smokes, what is that? When Luis Elizondo ran a small team at the U.S. Department of Defense, investigating military base reports of unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, he heard numerous such accounts by some of the most highly trained aeronautic experts in the world, in the military. They describe objects that appeared to be intelligently controlled, possessing aerodynamic capabilities that far surpass any currently known aircraft technology. Now, pursuing his investigations as part of To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, Elizondo is an integral part of the investigative team featured on History's Unidentified Inside America's UFO investigation, where they have continued to gather eyewitness accounts like these. It's white. It has no wings. It has no rotors. It didn't fly like an aircraft. It was so unpredictable. High G, rapid velocity, rapid acceleration. It was going 70-plus knots underwater. Those reports from Navy fighter pilots, radar operators, and other witnesses from the USS Nimitz aircraft carrier strike group incident from November 2004 were among a handful of shocking encounters the unidentified team explored. When Elizondo ran the Defense Department initiative called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP, he compiled a list of extraordinary logic-defying capabilities most commonly associated with unidentified aerial phenomenon sightings. He calls those traits the five observables. 1. Anti-gravity lift. Unlike any known aircraft, these objects have been sighted overcoming the Earth's gravity with no visible means of propulsion. They also lack any flight surfaces, such as wings. In the Nimitz incident, witnesses described the crafts as tubular, shaped like a tic-tac candy. 2. Sudden and instantaneous acceleration. The objects may accelerate or change direction so quickly that no human pilot could survive the G-forces. They would be crushed. In the Nimitz incident, radar operators say they tracked one of the UFOs as it dropped from the sky at more than 30 times the speed of sound. Black Aces Squadron Commander David Fravor, the Nimitz-based fighter pilot who was sent to intercept one of the objects, likened its rapid side-to-side movements, later captured on infrared video, to that of a ping-pong ball. Radar operators on the USS Princeton, part of the Nimitz carrier group, tracked the object accelerating from a standing position to traveling 60 miles in a minute, an astounding 3,600 miles an hour. According to manufacturer Boeing, the F-A-18 Super Hornet fighter jet typically currently reaches a maximum speed of Mach 1.6, or about 1,200 miles an hour. 3. Hypersonic velocities without signatures. If an aircraft travels faster than the speed of sound, it typically leaves signatures, like vapor trails or sonic booms. Many UFO accounts note the lack of such evidence. 4. Even when objects are observed, getting a clear and detailed view of them, either through pilot sightings, radar, or other means, remains difficult. Witnesses generally only see the glow or haze around them. 5. Transmedium travel. Some UAP travel Some UAP have been seen moving easily in and between different environments, such as space, the Earth's atmosphere, and even water. In the Nimitz incident, witnesses described a UFO hovering over a churning disturbance just under the ocean's otherwise calm surface, leading to speculation that another craft had entered the water. USS Princeton radar operator Gary Voorhees later confirmed from a Navy sonar operator in the area that day that a craft was moving faster than 70 knots, roughly two times the speed of nuclear subs. No one has yet gotten close to crafts that display these traits, so their origins are still unknown. Are they a super top secret U.S. defense project? Do they hail from Russia, China, or even from even further afield? The only thing we do know is that their capabilities exceed any technologies currently in the U.S. arsenal. All right. So incredible what they're talking about. All right. From the National Geographic, what the Pentagon report says about UFOs. I'm going to read this. Yes, Navy pilots and other military personnel have been seeing mysterious flying objects for decades. A Navy task force reviewed 144 sightings by U.S. government personnel that occurred between 2004 and 2021. No, the Pentagon doesn't know what they are. There's no evidence that the objects were sent by space aliens, but the report mandated by Congress as part of the 2021 National Intelligence Authorization Act confirms that the sightings remain unidentified. But no one in the intelligence community uses the term UFO anymore. The new moniker is Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, or UAP, a name change meant to signal that the U.S. government is taking the mysterious sightings seriously. The report, which includes a classified section available only to lawmakers, details the results of investigations by Defense Department's UAP Task Force, established in 2017. Strange flying objects with seemingly bizarre aerodynamic abilities have been spotted by pilots on radar and with infrared sensors. The report does state that the UAP task force was not able to attribute any of the sightings to American military or other advanced U.S. government technology. Some UAP observations could be attributable to developments and classified programs by U.S. entities, the report says. We were unable to confirm, however, that these systems accounted for any of the UAP reports we collected. Interest in the sightings waxed and waned, but definitely spiked in late 2014 and early 2015, when Super Hornets attached to the USS Roosevelt began encountering fast-moving, unidentified aircraft that looked, in one pilot's words, like a cube inside a sphere. Equipped with upgraded radar, these warplanes were able to track the strange objects. Early the next year, three sets of gun camera videos also captured flying objects, which have since been nicknamed Gimbal and Go Fast. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west, one pilot remarks in a recorded encounter. Look at that thing, dude, another cries out. Look at that thing, it's rotating. The naval aviators who shot the footage have not been identified, but two pilots have come forward as witnesses, Lieutenant Danny Alcoin and Lieutenant Ryan Graves. In both 2014 and 2015, they spotted odd returns on their radar screens and captured strange wingless, tailless objects on the airplane's video cameras. In interviews, Alcoin has said that the objects reacted to the warplanes and moved around them. These pilots and others who remain unidentified saw objects at various altitudes, including sea level, and tracked them accelerating to hypersonic speeds, greater than five times the speed of sound. Some exhibited extreme endurance, staying in the air for up to 12 hours without refueling. Others seemed to descend into the water, as shown on videos taken by Navy personnel. Okay, now, let's look at this for a moment. Let's just study that. All right. So, number one is they travel in ways that are unknown, impossible for the human body to travel. They appear and disappear. They make turns in ways that would create G forces that would kill human pilots. they can travel at the same speed underwater as they do above water. So in other words, the tension of the water doesn't affect it. The tension of the atmosphere doesn't affect it. Now, in none of this have we seen that these objects come from space into our into Earth's atmosphere. From what we can tell in all the reports, they simply arrive. They're there. They appear. They appear and they disappear. I can personally tell of my own experience on a number of occasions seeing objects in the distance that were made out of light, from what I could tell, and following me. And when following me at a slow speed off at the distance, and then suddenly turning directions and then vanishing. I've with a friend of mine, we pulled up to a stop sign. I was in college. I think I was 20 years old, not serving the Lord. And we stopped at a stop sign late at night, like during finals week. We were going to Perkins to study and eat some breakfast in the middle of the night. And as we stopped, appeared above us an amber glowing orb. And the orb was living. The light was living, and it just was there above us. And the response that we had is both of us broke out in goosebumps, and we were terrified to even talk. I slowly turned my head and looked at him, and he looked at me, and we said, "What is that?" in a hushed tone. And then
we'll be back after a quick break.
The End Time Message Handbook is a reference guide written by me, Brother Jason DeMars. The End Time Message Handbook is a collection of articles I wrote over the course of 4 years for the monthly booklet, The PTM Contender. This book started as a request from brothers in Turkey and Pakistan to have teachings put forth in booklet format. I began to write 3 articles a month and have them translated and printed in Turkey and Pakistan. Then I began to print them in English as well. In April 2020, I felt the Lord prompting me to stop publishing the PTM Contender on a monthly basis and start a daily live video to teach, equip, and encourage believers around the world. However, I have continued to receive requests for the PTM Contender, and as such, I wanted to make all the articles available in one book. This big book is a result of that. This is not intended to be a final answer on each and every topic. My hope is that this book would go forth for the glory of Jesus Christ, in order to help establish every believer who reads it in the present truth. It's not an exhaustive book written on each and every possible topic across the message. In the future, and as time allows, I'll write further and assemble a book that covers every major topic that the message deals with. That would be our second edition of this book at some point in the future. With that said, this book does cover a broad range of subjects with doctrinal and practical applications. My desire would be that you read it through from cover to cover, but also that you would use it as a reference guide. If you have a certain topic that you have a question about, you could go to this book, read an article, and then you could get started in your own studies. You can then go to the table and to the eSword or any other Bible software you use and begin to do your own prayerful study upon these subjects. You can order a copy completely free on jasondemars.com. Also, shipping is free as well. Now back to the podcast.
It suddenly moved away at such terrific speed, like lightning, gone. That was my own personal experience. And so, private individuals, people on video, people have captured these sightings. It goes on and on. I mean, it's in the thousands, tens of thousands even, of documented on video sightings where these lights are hovering. They stay there, they're in formation, and then suddenly they go. So If these UAPs want to harm us, you know, physically harm us, then they certainly could, with ease, from what it, from based on the technology that we're seeing there, if it is indeed technology. But they're not interested in harming, from what it seems. They're interested in observing. They're interested in observing, and they're interested in creating some sort of effect on the witnesses. And so if there was harm in mind, that would have happened and been done and over with. But there's no recorded evidence of destructive patterns from any of these phenomena. And the phenomena, whatever it is, it leaves people not knowing what it is. What could it be? What's the answer? Because we're modern scientific people, I think the conclusion everyone jumps to is that these are aliens from outer space. But I think that is an error and a mistake to look at it that way. Now, the second thing that Brother Branham alludes to and speaks about is alien abductions. Now, again, they say alien abductions as though they're from some galaxy far beyond. Now, I don't think that we can jump to that conclusion necessarily. There's no proof that there are space aliens. There's no proof other than the word of these appearances saying they're from outer space. We don't have any evidence, as far as has been released, that there are craft coming from outer space through the atmospheres into our into the realm of Earth. So from what I can tell, and the evidence that's there, is that these are simply appearing. They're from somewhere here. And if you study this at all, you can find out that these craft come out of the sea, they come out of the earth, and they appear in the sky. So they're among us, they're around us, all around us somehow. It's easy to explain as a Christian. They're in another dimension. They're in another dimension, in the earth, in the sea, or in the sky, and they're appearing here. All right, and so, you know, we look at the bigger picture. Brother Branham says, I'll tell you what they are. They're investigative angels. Amen. That's the truth. They are. Their appearing is much like the appearings in the Bible. In ancient times, you find that they say the gods would appear. And that the gods would appear, and you see some of these things, they're traveling on spherical objects that are made out of light. And people in historical times worshipped these entities. They're angels, and there's demons. The gods of the nations are devils, is what the Bible tells us. And they're not just a myth, they're real. They're demon gods. And in history, we have these same type of phenomena appearing. And they're appearing in the form of angelic beings to godly people like Ezekiel, a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And they're also appearing in the same form, but they're demons demanding worship and getting worship. And they appear in many different forms in their physical appearance. The people of history had these same experiences. Only in history they said they're gods, because that's the way the minds of people worked back then. Now we don't say they're gods. We say that they are aliens. And the gods of history brought a message to the people for them to follow and to worship. And the aliens that are appearing today also bring a message, and I want to examine that. We have angels and we have demonic forces appearing, and we're so scientific that we have to have a natural explanation to it. Now I'm going to read the case of Bud Hopkins and his research that he's done. This is quoting from an article from PBS.org. And in retrospect, now that I know about the abduction phenomenon, and I've been looking into it for practically 20 years, I realized that in those early years, before we accepted the idea of occupants, before we accepted the idea of abductions, and we were just looking at the objects themselves, that it was as if we were trying to get the license plate number on the getaway car without having figured out what the crime was. But as these cases began to come my way where people were reporting a sighting, a period of missing time, they couldn't account for a couple of hours. Perhaps they were in a car. The car ended up on another road aimed in the wrong direction. They were having nightmares and fears and so on afterwards. You have to assume that something traumatic had occurred in a number of these cases. So I used a couple of friends who were psychiatrists, psychologists, and others to help us with hypnotic regressions to look into these experiences that the people were unable to recall all the details of. And one of the interesting things, of course, is the people who were doing the hypnosis for us were all skeptics. I don't think they ended up skeptics, but that's the way they began. But as the case material mounted up and in case after case after case replicated the cases before, and these were totally believable people from all walks of life, and even down to tiny details in their descriptions of what happened to them, these tiny details were replicated again and again. You have to feel you're dealing with a phenomenon that has an absolute core of reality about it. Nova asks Hopkins this: what is your best response to people who believe abductees must simply be crazy, that this is just crazy mentally stuff? Do you think they would feel differently after they got a chance to meet and hear directly from these people? Well, the issue of whether the abductees are crazy by the thousands, we're talking about by the thousands, is, I think, a simple question to answer. I mean, these people can be psychologically tested as they have been. We instituted a psychological series of psychological tests with a group of abductees without informing the psychologists of the nature of our sample many years ago, and there was no psychopathology that emerged from the testing, and this is what happens again and again. So, again, attached to some thousands of UFO sightings, there are experiences that people have, and they're being called being abducted. I want to look at this more closely and look at one of the experiences. On December 26th, now I think I'm quoting from Wikipedia about Whitley Strieber. Whitley Strieber is an interesting case, and I think you're going to be fascinated by this strange thing. On December 26, 1985, when he was 40 years old, Whitley Strieber awoke as he was being carried out of his cabin in New York's Hudson Valley to a tent in the surrounding woods, where he was beaten, poked, and prodded by unknown assailants. A circle of observers around him included giant insects and masked trollish figures, as well as an old friend, human, whom Strieber later learned had died several months earlier. In the years that followed, Strieber had more strange experiences with entities he came to call the visitors. One night, he found himself in flagrante delicto with an otherworldly lover. A year or two later, two mysterious beings implanted a small piece of metal in his ear. Over time, he recalled events that had happened much earlier in his life, encounters with diminutive blue men, out-of-body experiences, and strange childhood episodes at Randolph Air Force Base in his native San Antonio. At least, this is what Strieber perceived happened to him, as recorded in his best-selling 1987 book, Communion, and several sequels. As a result, he became the poster boy for alien abduction. Despite maintaining that he didn't know exactly what had happened to him, after Communion's publication, Strieber received nearly 500,000 letters from readers describing their own close encounters. 500,000. Wow. My first books were unfortunate in one respect in that they were so vividly written that readers and the media looked at them as descriptions of experiences rather than descriptions of perception, he says. There's a great deal of difference between the two. Though critics were often savage, the Los Angeles Times refused to place the first sequel to Communion on its nonfiction bestseller list. The book appeared on the fiction list instead. Stryber has stuck to his guns. This month, he will release his 36th book, The Supernatural, A New Vision of the Unexplained, a collaboration with Rice University professor of religion, Jeffrey Kripal, that considers Stryber's experiences through the lens of comparative religious study. Its chapters alternate between Stryber's autobiographical accounts and Kripal's examination of those reports using the tools of his discipline. Kripal, whose research interests include the mystical and paranormal, suggests that Stryber's experiences with the visitors are not unlike St. Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus or Moses' interaction with the burning bush. If Stryber is telling the truth and Kripal is convinced he is, his accounts might offer religious historians a modern case study of a perceived encounter with extraordinary beings. I want to look at this. This is taken from an article about Stryber, and this section of the article is called Alien Days. Remember this, Earth has given birth to something we call the human mind, but the visitors view it as a precious resource of innovation and ultimately of ecstasy. They are indifferent to power, but willing to use dark appearances to give lessons. From Stryber in Summer of Promise, Summer of Danger. Rather than trying to sum up Stryber's experiences and his interpretation of them, I will let his words speak for themselves. So now, over a long period of time, Stryber has had experiences with these aliens. And they purport to be aliens, they purport to come from outer space. Now, he says, the close encounters I had between 1985 and 1994 were scary, but only because they were so unusual. The people or beings I met were complex and in the end gentle. They had a wonderful, subtle sense of humor. There were many personalities involved, obviously many different individuals. My life with them was spiritually and intellectually rewarding. They responded with deep understanding to the path I was on and worked with me as true masters work with a student on the journey toward higher consciousness. Higher consciousness. This is what they're directing Stryber on. This was an extremely subtle, paradoxical, and complicated experience. I encountered many different levels of being, some of them openly terrible, others more neutral, others sublime. I have no way of knowing if they were all the same or different creatures entirely. The message of my contact experience is therefore clear. Face the fear and you will get rewarded by breaking down natural barriers to perception that impede you from interacting completely with the world in which you lived. My goodness. Face the fear and you'll get rewarded. Wow. So having lived with the visitors for many years, Stryber describes the beings as emanating from a world that reaches across space and time, that penetrates not only this universe and its secrets, but many others as well. That is ancient beyond belief, and in a way that I can hardly even begin to explain, impeccable. I'm not saying that they're pleasant. They're as tough as nails, as mean as snakes, and as dangerous as plutonium. You cannot be with them without also being with your own truth. Then you see what you really are, a little fragment in a vastness so great, so various and so shockingly unimaginably conscious that it completely swallows you. And this more or less sums up Stryber's objective, mostly impartial, view of his alleged experiences with the beings. There is a dark side to them, but one that seems to provide context or shading for a far larger experience which includes positive and negative aspects. Overall, Stryber seems to believe that the effects of his close encounters have been beneficent to him. And although unsure how many different beings or kinds of beings he has interacted with over the years, he is sure about one of them. The woman whose portrait is on the cover of Communion was without a doubt the greatest master I have ever known. Her being projected devastatingly powerful knowledge. She has been with me for longer than life itself. I am one of her many projects. In the world of the soul, she's rich. On a big journey in the direction of ecstasy and seeking to travel there the only way you can in a great chorus of free souls. There is a dark side to it, though. Continuing to read from the article, ultimately, as a species, we have no escape from this, and in fact, no amount of struggle is going to dislodge them. For whatever reason, I think we have been left to the exploiters and the scum. Who knows? Maybe the good guys gave up or lost a war. Maybe those of us who got good treatment were simply being deceived. In more recent years, however, Stryber became increasingly preoccupied with what he has referred to as the dark side of the alien experience. This preoccupation has colored his writings to a disturbing degree, and at times his morbid fascination with the darker undercurrents of spiritual experience seems to border on obsession. Spiritual experience? I thought they were aliens from outer space. Stryber hinted at this dark side from the very beginning. His original title for Communion was Body Terror, but his general take on it was that whatever darkness or negativity he encountered, it was sourced in his own fears of the unknown. Over time, however, he began to present a more traditional picture of evil, and consequently, perhaps unconsciously, to return to his roots as a horror writer. Some of them were not like the woman I met and her staff. Some of them qualify as what we would call monsters in every sense of that word. What is happening now is absolutely terrifying, so much so that I have kept it to myself in hopes that I was wrong or that it would change. 2 years later, in 2003, he had this to say, "I'm a realist, and what is now real is that the only thing that appears to be left of the contact experience is the dark side. So that's what we have to face now. In any case, the experience I had and what happens now seems to me to be very different, almost as if somebody good has left and somebody surpassingly evil has remained here. There are beings here who are hostile to one another, and some who hate us with a passion so great that it would be considered psychotic if it was displayed by a human being. There are some in a very complex and parasitical relationship with our minds, and some of these seem to me to be close enough to the human to suggest that they are hybrids of some kind. I believe that this presence is what keeps us trapped here on Earth, what prevents mankind from becoming a cosmic being, and what has been maneuvering us toward the earliest possible extinction, something so profoundly evil that is almost beyond imagination." So look at this experience. All right, I'm not going to comment on it yet. I think you can get the picture here for a moment. I'm going to bring one more situation. This is quoting from Wikipedia. Elizabeth Clare, she was born in July 1st, 1910, and died on February 9th, 1994, was a South African woman who, starting in 1956, publicly claimed to have been contacted by aliens multiple times between 1954 and 1963. Her first visitation supposedly occurred when she was 7, and she was one of the first women to claim a sexual relationship with an extraterrestrial. She promoted an ideal of a better world and beliefs in cosmic consciousness. Again, similar to what Stryber is saying. In her book, Beyond the Light Barrier, she strived to convey a message of peace, love, understanding, and environmentalism, which she credited to the superior wisdom of an advanced and immaculately utopian Venusian civilization. She promoted conspiracy theories of an international cover-up that kept vital information from the public and claimed to have been threatened with abduction to press her into revealing details about alien technology. Again, that's known. What the last part is not a conspiracy theory. That's the truth. Information has been hid. It's slowly leaking out now for some reason. All part of the devil's program. Anyways, As we examine these stories of alien abduction, we cannot comment if they're real or not. They may not be real, but to these people, they're real, and there's thousands of stories, hundreds of thousands of stories. What's fascinating about all of these stories is these beings, quote-unquote aliens, have a message. And as we talked about before, the gods of history appeared in these same forms to the ancient peoples. And they created elaborate stories of gods. And these stories all begin to line up. They're not, I don't believe that they're fake. I believe that they're real stories with a twist. But these aliens or these gods or these demons are appearing, bringing a message to people. Let's take their testimony at face value first. You see that these aliens come, they experience gripping fear, paralyzation. Their minds become almost blank. At some point, memory gets fuzzy. There's stories of people being carried through the air like a form of levitation by these aliens. There's stories of being probed and examined. There's stories of waking up in different places, being driving down the road, and the next thing you know, you're in some other place, and that you have strange nightmares and so on and so forth. Those who have repeated alien interactions speak of somehow summoning the aliens. Stryber speaks of that. I believe Clarer speaks of that. They summon the aliens. The aliens would then almost appear in their room with out of nowhere. Not as though that they came from some spacecraft, but that they just appeared. Then the result of ongoing discussion that they have with these aliens results in a spiritual message of united consciousness, environmentalism, peace, love. It's always producing, saying there's going to be a new age that either the aliens are going to take us into or that they're trying to prevent us from going into. And they're coming to take us into a new stage of human evolution wherein we can achieve a greater stage of consciousness and abilities like the aliens have. Now I want to read to you the conclusion that Tucker Carlson has reached from his interviews with former government officials that were directly involved in researching UAPs. This is from the Free Citizen Press. The second comment from Carlson that caught my eye came in the same interview when he declared that he believes that what people believe are UFO and alien sightings are actually signs we are being invaded by a malevolent spiritual force, and that there is good reason to believe that the U.S. government is actually working in partnership with that malevolent spiritual force. So quoting Tucker, "It's my personal belief based upon a fair amount of evidence. They're not aliens. They've always been here, and I do think it's spiritual. That's my view. And again, it's not provable, but based on the evidence. If the U.S. government has, in fact, had contact, direct contact with these beings, whatever they are, I've already told you what I think they are and has entered into some sort of agreement with them, which is the claim of informed people. It's very, very, very heavy thing." All right, end quote. The evidence is very strong from everything that we've examined that these are interdimensional phenomenon. They're not coming from outer space. They're here. They come from the atmosphere of Earth, from the sea. They appear in our immediate atmosphere. They travel at speed and turn at speeds that are impossible for any type of craft that is bound by physical rules of this planet. They appear and they disappear at will. And then we combine that with the alien abduction stories. They line up perfectly with supernatural experiences of a dark nature. They can have a good attached to them. Anytime the devil works, he tries to work first through something that would seem good to the flesh, then that turns around into being something evil. But anyways, these supernatural experiences of an evil nature, they line up exactly with what the Bible calls familiar spirits. Leviticus 20, verse 27, a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And I'm not reading that to advocate for murdering these people, but I'm reading that to start this picture that there is such a thing as a familiar spirit. 1 Samuel 28, 7. And they summon these familiar spirits. Think about the story of Saul. Saul went to a woman that had a familiar spirit. And she said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Bring Samuel up. So they summon. There's a summoning of the demon spirit. In this case, there was a different phenomenon. And Samuel came up. But usually it's a demon spirit purporting to have contact with the dead relative or whatever it is, trying to get the information. Leviticus 26, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, in the past, false religious format was that they were summoning the spirits of the dead. Now, the modern false religion, that is atheism, summons aliens from outer space at some faraway planet, and they carry the basis of the same message. That message is an exaltation to a higher sphere of humanity through hidden knowledge, which is basically Gnosticism at the time of the apostles. But Genesis 3, 1 through 5 speaks of it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So here, you'll be like the God, you'll be like the Elohim. You'll know good and evil. Here is a hidden knowledge that's being prevented from you getting it. Here it is, and now you'll be like the gods. These space aliens are bringing a new age message from outer space, actually from hell, in the form of demons masquerading as aliens instead of the spirits of dead relatives or the gods. They produce fears, nightmares, terror, deception. They're angels of light seeking to bring a new revelation to people who are open to spiritual deception. The message I would want to leave with you with is this. One day we will be kidnapped by aliens. That is, angels will descend, will be changed, our bodies will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The angels will descend and carry us up into heavenly realms. This is the message that they're trying to give to people. It's an an opposite of God's message. God's message is what? God's message is, follow my word, follow my leadership, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I will change your, I will take you up to another level of being. I will change your vile body to be likened unto Jesus' glorified body. And it will literally be a higher level of being. But we don't get it by receiving it from aliens. We receive it from the Word of God, the Bible, and walking with Christ. But these angels, we will be these these flying saucers will supernaturally come down and take us who have our bodies changed, will take us to the heavenly realms, just as Elijah was carried on spacecraft. A fiery chariot into the heavenlies, we will be carried by these flying saucers into another realm. And there certainly are UFOs that appear that are most certainly investigative angels. They just appear, investigate what's happening, disappear. And the shape that they take are quite similar to what we find in the Bible for angels. And no doubt, if you look at the scripture, God himself traveled on different various what we would call craft. It's not a craft, it's supernatural. It's something supernatural. Angels traveled like that, and demons are also traveling like this. They're not physical. What they are, we have no idea, but they're supernatural. The UFOs that appear also have a dark side to them, similar to what we find in the Bible. It's amazing, really, when you think about it. Wheels in the middle of the wheel, etc. But many of these angels that appear that bring a dark side, obviously, are demons. We have no evidence that they're coming from outer space. They're appearing here. And these demonic angels of light are bringing a deception upon the world. And it seems that Satan himself is using them to deceive the nations as one of his many tactics of deceit. Those being kidnapped or having alien encounters are clearly in contact with demonic entities, demonic forces that are seeking to deceive them and to deceive mankind in one of the many ways they take people away from the truth of the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that makes sense to you. I hope this was an interesting podcast. If you have any questions or comments for me or experiences you'd like to share, I sure would appreciate that. May God richly bless you. Introducing a new podcast that is connected to this one. Mysteries Revealed is a podcast made exclusively as a thank you to our subscribers who support this podcast running on a monthly basis. You can sign up for it at our Buzzsprout link that is attached to every podcast or is at jasondemars.com. For $5 and up, you can stand with us to keep this podcast going out to encourage and equip believers and stands as a witness to the truth around the world. May God richly bless you and thank you for your support. Now back to the podcast.